This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Well, here's some good news for you progressive Democrats. The Washington Post is reporting that the government is nearing a potential shutdown as Republicans take aim at the vaccine and testing mandates. What does all that mean? Well, the Democrats are laying the groundwork for a good old showdown in Washington, a good old political fight. No debate or anything like that. Don't get crazy. What it really is, what they really mean is that they're advancing the agenda. When you hear that, you know, Republicans and Democrats can't agree, deadline looms, that means they're moving closer to an agreement and it's not going to be favorable to you. See, you can't leave time in there for like appeals and court hearings and stuff like that. Good God. Look at what happened on January 6th. People start to realize what's really going on. They take matters into their own hands and there won't be any peace anywhere. So they got to call it something else. They make you believe that there's this fight going on. So good for Biden. He's going to get his $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 trillion deal. Here's some more nonsense for you. Alec Baldwin says, listen to this. You can't make this up, man. I saw the video. Now, I don't, it could be a deep fake at this point. I don't know what to believe. Like, this is lunacy beyond anything I've ever heard in my life. Here's what Alec Baldwin said. Do you know, everybody know the story? I know we forget things. Everybody's catching up. I'm like, what are you talking about, Alec Baldwin? He's an actor. I didn't really know who he was before this. I guess I did, but I didn't really pay attention. Anyway, he's on the set, and he picks up this gun, which was supposed to be a prop gun. If they're supposed to be prop guns, why do they have firing pins and whatnot? You know, isn't there some way to disable it from even being properly used as a firearm? Like, this doesn't seem difficult. Remember the conversation I had yesterday about real solutions, not just bickering and arguing? Well, today I'm going to have my cake and eat it too. Because, you see, I don't really like Alec Baldwin. And you know why? Because he's a hypocrite. A filthy little woke hypocrite. Because a couple of years ago, he posted on Twitter after a police shooting. And I forget what he even said now. I talked about it a few weeks ago. You know, something like, you know, how do you live with yourself after you've just killed an innocent person or something like that? Pretty egregious. And, you know, I love how people are going to sit back without really knowing much of anything about a story. And it's one thing, you know, for you to sit in your living room and make judgments, although I don't necessarily recommend that. And I didn't do my own. I'm not sitting here trying to be judgmental. I just consider that what he said, it was beyond just words, I guess you could say, the meaning of it, that he's going to sit there and take aim like that, never even considering if the shoe was on the other foot. Anyway, whatever. I don't even want to talk about it because it's ridiculous. Alec Baldwin comes out now. Anyway, he's on the set. He's an actor. I'm trying to tell you the story. He's an actor. He's on the set, and he picks up this gun. It's supposed to be a prop gun. I guess they're still real firearms. It's supposed to have, you know, blanks in it or empty. And they say gun or something or empty gun to announce whatever they're supposed to do to announce it. Ends up pointing the gun and shoots the girl behind the camera. In his own words, he's like, it was like one in a million shot. I think that I'm going to be careful with that. I really don't want to slander anybody. I can't verify that. Even though I don't like Alec Baldwin, I still don't want to slander the guy. Let the facts be the facts. And I really don't know if he's guilty of any criminal wrongdoing. I don't really have an opinion about that, quite frankly. I just think he's a clown, an idiot, right? He's so opinionated about guns and the cop when he has no idea the impact that him being a celebrity, going out on Twitter and saying that, you know, was the guy a father? Was the cop a father, a mother? It was a male, I'm pretty sure. No regard. Just going to run his filthy little mouth. And not only is he just running his filthy little mouth, he's completely wrong. And he's so naive that he doesn't even know how to make sure that a gun's not loaded. For aims it at somebody's head in a one in a million shot who he claims that, you know, is an incredible person he loved. But anyway, this is where the funny part of the story comes in. Now he's kind of come out of hiding after it happened. Every photograph you saw of him, he's doubled over. He's anguishing. I can take it. Horrible. And, you know, look, I can't deny that. You know, hopefully he did feel some guilt. He's some human. I'm sure that he is. I'm sure he's not all that bad of a guy. How's it? I really don't know. Does it matter? This is the funny part. In the, today's world of nothing means what it is. So I don't know what the we're still trying to decode this one. He said the trigger was not pulled. I did not pull the trigger. You can't make this up. The trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger. What's he saying now? Was it a different gun? I don't know. You never know. You never know. Look, I understand the distress, and you can have a different opinion to me of Alec Ball, the one in the quote and all that. Look, it was a very, very tragic accident. Do we agree? And he's caught up in it. Can we agree on that much? The trigger wasn't pulled? I didn't pull the trigger? I mean, this story just took a major left turn. Well, what was he doubled over in anguish for? What he thought he did? I don't know what happened. My mind went blank. Best thing you could ever say, by the way. Stacey Abrams is running for governor in Georgia. That should excite somebody. 2-3 people, I'm sure. I wonder how she'll do. Well, I think it's like the new face of the Democrat Party. I see President Abrams in the future. He's got that kind of Oprah look about her, right? Very warm. I haven't even really heard her speak. I mean, she must have some kind of popularity, so... Oh, this is a good one, I think, for Democrats down in Georgia, down in the land of the peaches down there. I don't know. You know, look, if you're like me and you woke up and you're like, man, I don't even recognize this country anymore. And I try to keep it in context because I really feel disconnected from the world around me right now. I got to tell you, I look at the things being said. I look at the things that many people are believing. And I have to pinch myself. I'm like, is this really real? Are people really that? Or like, I'm like, something wrong with me? Am I the only one that thinks that we ought to be concerned about this virus and the way our government's acting and this endless debt and overreaching technology? I mean, you know, the epidemics, mental health, drug addiction, fatherless families. No, nobody's too worried about it. I don't know. Seem to be, you know, crisis levels according to anybody else. Crime's up. Everything's, all the negative stuff is up. Can't get people to work. I don't know. What kind of progress is this? What happened to our country? I don't know. It was the book that I never wrote. Where'd My Country Go? That's what it was going to be called. I said in the opening chapter, I feel, remember that commercial in the 70s with the Indian sitting by the side of the road? Remember that? With the Indian headdress on, he had the tear running down his cheek. It was a anti-pollution propaganda government. It was good. That's back when government propaganda was for good purposes. Cleaning up litter. I still approve of it. As a kid, I approved of it. Maybe I was indoctrinated. Maybe that's how I got indoctrinated into, you know, all this crazy environmentalism. But I don't really see the progress in it. There's more and more. Do I have it in here? I think I have an article about the plastic. More and more stuff coming up about that. The problem's going to explode. And that's not, I don't think, propaganda. It's not like I'm able to do a survey of the doggone plastic on my own, but like 90% of the trash problem, I was reporting this a year or two ago. So put that in context a second. And that is this, that like 90% of the plastic pollution was generated in the last 10 years, meaning that in the past 2 years, we've added what? Another 20% to that load, probably more, given that the population of the world and the economy's grown. They blame most of the plastic on the United States, but I don't know that I would agree that that's true. I don't know who's necessarily saying that. And you think, well, yeah, you know, we're the richest, most industrialized nation in the world. That makes sense. Yeah, I wouldn't believe that. If you go look at some of the photo and video evidence that's available online, India, China. I mean, some of these places are heavily, parts of Russia. I was looking at this, I think they make, was it cadmium batteries or something like that? Is that how you say that? That's like an old battery technology, I think. Must be still around for something. Maybe not. Anyway, they had this plant there for these things, and they were showing how this whole area of Russia was polluted. Crazy. Massive country, by the way, if you ever take a look at Russia. What happened? You know, something hit me the other day. And I was thinking about my time in combat, in war. And, you know, I wasn't entirely comfortable with it. I never really got to talking to any of my brothers about this. And you know, maybe their moral struggles with even being there. And it's not like I really labor over it, I guess. But I do remember at times when I was over there, I really wasn't completely comfortable with participating in it. It wasn't really, this is the first Gulf War, and it kind of seemed like it was over oil to me. Like, we didn't hear about this struggle or any of this, you know, people of Kuwait being, you know, mistreated or, you know, whatever the scare tactic of the day was back then, I don't remember. But it was about the oil, basically. That's what I believed it kind of was. At least that's what I believed then. I think I still do, mainly. Yeah, they kind of turned on that weapons of mass destruction thing, which there were. There were. We got hit with that gas alarms going off. No, nothing funny. It was our weapons. That's why. That's why the cover-up. Isn't that funny? Colin Powell took the, who made money off of that? Halliburton, probably Dick Cheney. He was a little shady, don't you think? I don't know. Back in the days when the Republicans were making money in politics. Now the Democrats want to make money in politics, and everybody's in an uproar over it. Well, you know, pendulum's got to swing back and forth. Anyway, I don't know if I recognize the country anymore. I don't know if I like it anymore. I don't know if I want to be in it anymore. I can't believe I'm saying these things to you. Hey, by the way, my buddy Stan called me the other day from the Don't Back Down show on WWDB 96.5 FM Philadelphia. Oh, no, it's not. 96.5 FM. Do you know? That's hilarious. I just did that, and I'll tell you why. 96.5 FM, WWDB, that's what I listened to as a kid. 10 years old, listening to talk radio, I kid you not. Oh, it's something I always wanted to do. And here's the story real quick. I didn't want to bring this up, but since I just blew that whole line. My buddy Stan does a show on the current WWDB, which is, oh my God, forgive me, I don't even know what the channel is, but it's on. It's an AM channel. And I had an opportunity to do a show there. And, you know, I've been on Stan's show quite a few times. I'm sure I'll be back. I hosted it for him one time. It was an incredible honor. You know, I would, like, never turn this microphone over to anybody that I could ever dream of. Like, I've heard other, you know, Rush Limbaugh, you know, Michael Savage. I'm like, I don't think I'd be doing that. Not necessarily. Not in a big rush. Like, this is kind of my show. And I mean, mind me, I mean, our show. But I get to be the guy on the mic. That's kind of what I work to, you know. So I worked hard for this spot, and it's not something I'm just going to let languish. Today was a hard day for me to do the podcast. I had a lot of other things going on. And it's funny, I was thinking about skipping it, but one, I had a lot to say. I already had the show notes prepared. You can see them at ChristopherScottShow.com. If you've never checked out the ChristopherScottShow.com website, I wish you would. But I already had the show notes up. You can check them there. I had them done, and it was a long day. But you know what really hit me? I said, you know, there's people I hear from you sometimes when I skip a podcast here and there. Sometimes I have to, you know. It happens. Guy's got to have a life. I have things going on today, you know, as well. Oh, we got the kitchen countertops, by the way. I'll talk about that maybe. But I know there's people that depend on hearing this podcast every day, and I didn't want to let you down. How's that? But I love doing it. I really do. I love turning on the microphone. And, you know, I'm going to get back on point here in a second, but, you know, I had some time off, and I really had some time to do some thinking that I really needed to do. Like, I've taken a couple days here and there. I got to tell you, maybe that's the lesson in all that, you know, this news is toxic. I mean, just listen to the stuff I just went through with you. You know, Stacey Abrams, good for her, but, you know, Alec Baldwin, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger. Oh, my God. What is that saying? Government nears potential shutdown again. This is how we do budgets now. This is not a new phenomenon. I've been talking about this too. So funny now, you know, what am I, over four years of doing the podcast. Isn't that something? 11, what are we at? I don't even know. 11 something. 1,100 and some podcasts. It's a lot of podcasts. Well, there's a little bit of a history now. Oh, yeah. Things I've talked about more than once in most cases. I was thinking about doing a best of round. Anyway, maybe we should put that together, right? There's some good old ones out there. But I think I needed the break. For one thing, there's been a lot going on in my life over the past couple of years. Really good stuff for the most part. And it's been busy, though, and it's been hectic. And then with COVID and blah, 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 it just gets a little tough at times. And then I got hurt, you know, with the concussion, and that set me back physically. And you've heard me talk about this before. If you're not feeling well physically, guess what? Emotionally, you're going to follow suit, right? You're getting fat and out of shape and sitting on the sofa and you're getting your soft, milky hands. They're disgusting. Let me tell you something. If you're a man and you look down and you see soft hands, I want you to go slap the crap out of yourself. I'm kidding around. Take it. So a couple of people are like, what's wrong with wearing gloves, dude? I'm like, yeah, actually nothing. I wear gloves. I'm working in the yard all the time. It's not like my hands are like the leather, you know what I mean? But they're not soft, I'll tell you that. do you think any other podcaster talks about the soft hands? No. That's mine, all mine. Anybody ever talks about it, I want to hear about it. Soft hands, I'm going to tell you, it speaks of the times, my friends. I kid you not when I say this. This was a topic growing up that you could tell a lot by the character of the man by looking at his hands. Who says that anymore? Nobody does. Anyway, I took the week off. Plus two, I really took a very, I took like 10 days of really, I had like had things to do. I did a Monday podcast. I did a Thursday podcast for Thanksgiving anyway. And then Monday. So I did like three podcasts in that 10 days. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of working in the yard, playing with my dogs, playing with my daughter. And it was just, I really did. And, you know, I'll tell you the first thing I did, and I didn't, it's not like I was going to like revamp my whole life in 10 days. That wasn't really the point anyway. I knew I needed to get back on track for one thing. But anyway, one of the things I realized is like, I got to get some stuff off my plate. I've taken on way too much. And so I just sat down with the list in front of me and everything that I'm involved in is highly, highly organized. It's amazing. I could write a book about that. This Notion app that I'm using to see the dashboard that I have for my work and personal life and all these projects. It's incredible. It's incredible. It really is phenomenal. All highly organized. And I love that. And I love the fast pace. But I just realized that, you know, when you're running at 110 miles an hour all the time, you don't really get a chance to take it in, for one. And there's nothing wrong with going 110. You know, I like to go fast. That's why I don't have a motorcycle anymore. But sometimes you got to just stop and take it all in. And you got to reorient yourself once in a while, right? And I think that's what I needed. But part of the outcome of that was me realizing just to shed some of this. And it's not that I have to give it up. And that was part of the hurdle, I think, and realizing my thing. I'm like, I'm not giving anything up. You know, something changes tomorrow, and I have time to fit one of these things back in, and that's my desire. That's what I'm going to do. But you know how I mostly prioritized it? It wasn't money, my friends. It wasn't money. It wasn't even so much time, although to some extent it was. But it's what I enjoy. And that's where I came back to the podcast. I really do love it. And I just thought, you know, and I want to thank you in the audience for sticking with me, because there's been times, this isn't the first time I thought this, I look back, I'm like, you know, I've allowed other distractions to take away from the podcast. Why would I do that when I love doing it? Like this passion that I started 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 years and 3 months ago or whatever it was, 1,100 podcasts ago. It's incredible. So I plan on putting more into it, but I want it to be focused. That's what came out of the time off. And I don't want to, I've had so many things I've thrown out to you guys, half written books and half baked ideas and, you know, all this stuff. But so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But I think that you're going to see some exciting stuff coming next year. I really do. Nothing radical in terms of the format of the podcast. I was listening to Steve Bannon's War Room podcast today. Did I tell you I got to see him a couple weeks ago out in Lancaster? Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. You know, and I don't really know much about the guy. Some of the stuff reported, you know, seems to be he's interested in, you know, creating a platform and making money for himself. I don't know. You could say that about Trump. He's got his book out, his autographed book. I think it's like $80, 40 unautographed. So he's charging $40 for an autograph. All right. Billionaires. On one hand, you say, well, you mean $40 for an autograph from a billionaire. It's cheap. Well, not cheap enough for me, my friends. I don't know. Maybe in another day. I don't know. And I just, in this day and age, can you leave it on the coffee table? You, I know some of you love. Of course I would. I might get it. I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about? The Trump photo memoir. He's charging $80 for this book. It's not even something he wrote. It's photographs. Hey, don't get me wrong. I actually, like I said, I think it's a phenomenal book, and I probably will end up getting it, knowing myself. But I think it's kind of, you know, interesting how the money flows, put it that way. Phenomenal. Hey, he's earning it from people, right? He's not taking it from the Ukrainians, that's for sure. And it really is a better model when you think about it. What's he doing with the money? That's the question. Well, there's no indication he's getting richer and richer off it. Maybe we just haven't learned that yet. Everything they reported, he took a hit. I'm like, yeah, it's funny how the media comes out and bashes him with that. And I'm like, man, look at what the guy just did for this country. Gave up $1 billion. It's crazy when you think about it. Really crazy. Anyway, I don't know if I recognize the country anymore. I'm going to keep doing what I can to bring the fight. I was listening to Steve Bannon's War Room. Seems like a very charismatic guy. That's all I can say at this point. Very interesting speaker. And a pretty cool podcast, I thought. And a very patriotic message. Strong patriotic message from Steve Bannon. And, you know, now he's got this little court case going on. I don't think there's much teeth to it all. I think he's going to laugh this off. Might be funny. Might be really funny. Congress is down there just destroying lives of anybody who is associated with Trump. And even now you look at the media heating up. They're, you know, this court case, Epstein trial, and they're, you know, what's her name's trial, Maxwell's trial, the Epstein case, whatever you want to call it. And the whole focus is that Trump was on the, according to this one pilot, that Trump was on the Lolita Express, whatever that thing was called. It's creepy to me. The whole thing is creepy. You know, Epstein with the, you know, you look at those photos back then, even when Trump was, you know, hanging out with him. So it's like, what is your fascination with these women that are clearly, what would be the label you put on it? I don't want to bash anybody, certainly not if they were minors being victimized, but you could tell there was something off. I mean, that's my point. Right. I mean, let's put it this way. I don't know what you think. Trump looks wise. I mean, he's no, you know, what are the, like, the big attractive, you know, the big drawing women? But you see that all the time. It's the way you say it's the money or the influence that's attractive. I think that for females, there is a certain attraction. For men, too, I think. You know, men, there's men that like confident women. Of course, men that don't. You know, all this different stuff. So I don't think the game's any different based on your gender. If, in fact, you do identify with a gender, I want to be a little careful, you know. But I just thought something was a little off with Trump and the women and, you know, the whole Miss America thing and its young girls. And, you know, I don't know. I like Trump. And I'm not saying he did anything wrong. I don't think so. Based on what I've seen in his character, I think just the opposite. I think he did what he could to, you know, maybe try and bring certain things to light. I think didn't he kick Epstein or somebody? I forget. He did take some action in certain things. You know, within his business or whatever. But anyway, I just thought it was weird with the women. But now, whatever you want to believe about all that, this whole thing with this Maxwell trial, and they're focusing it on the Trump wrote on this plane. I'm like, I mean, okay. he was on the plane. What does that mean? Who was on the plane? Where did they go and what happened? We should know all. I've said this over and over again. I had no problem with forcing Trump to give up his tax returns. I think that should have been the deal before he was elected. I don't think you can impose that on him after he's elected if that's not the law. But I say, generally speaking, yeah, take the tax returns. All of them. They should be automatically audited. How about that? I got to put that in the notes. That's going in the political ideas file. All politicians audited. You know, they want to beef up the IRS to go back on these tax cheats. And how many of them are breaking the law? Their whole family. You're not going to be able to enforce that. But there should be deep, deep investigations into following these money trails and making sure that it's compliant with it. Why do we, the people, not insist on that? Why do we allow them to operate under a different set of rules than we begin with? They're the ones that make the rules, not us. Well, I think it's time to restore the power to the people, and that's kind of the point, isn't it? Anyway, I had a good time off. I think I got my head on really straight. I'm beginning to dial in on a focus that I haven't felt since the concussion, to be honest with you. That's the real truth. Yeah, maybe it's been enough time. I do still have a little ear, ringing in my ears, so. And there's some other little symptoms, but so I don't think I've completely, recovered from it. But I do feel an energy and a focus that I haven't felt it since at least before. And so it feels good. Thanks for letting me babble on forever there about that. Listen to this little story. Now, you've heard me talk about this. So I don't even know what to do with this. It's like, where do we go from here? I look at this story. And here's the deal. You say young people, in the context of a political commentary podcast, young people. What do you dream up? In negative, am I right? Because that's what you've been conditioned from the media. Young people. Young people. And 4 in 5 young people want socialism. 4 in 5 young people hate God, religion, and their parents. And you know, it's just all and everything, one after the other. 4 in 5 young people don't want what their parents. This is right. It's just anything their parents obviously get this the great rebellion going on. That's what we're being led to believe. I don't know. Somehow I go down the Jersey Shore on the 4th of July. This is 2 years ago during Trump. 3 years ago, maybe. Yeah, probably 3 years ago. Been a while. Yeah, 3 years ago. Maybe even been 4. Anyway, get on the Jersey Shore, and there's nothing but American flags. Young people with red, white, and blue hats on walking on the boardwalk. Come on. They want socialism. They don't want... Get the heck out of here. I didn't hear any of that kind of talk from my son at State University. Certainly don't hear him talking about it in the Air Force. My daughters and you know, and getting indoctrinated into the public school system in kindergarten, I don't hear them talking about socialism, communism, or the like. Maybe they're keeping it from me. I don't know. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I see the blue hairs. I think that's what's going on. Like the multi-hair thing, is that a symbol for something? Maybe I'm off base. I don't know. I just know there's a lot of people out there that look at things a lot differently than I do. But I say young people to you, and what do you think? Something negative, right? And what has been one of the things that you've been led to believe that young people want social? Oh, more than ever, young people want social. What did we just hear the other day? I was talking about the Democrat politician, the woman saying, oh, young people want abortions. I'm like, I'm not hearing that. It's not like I'm hanging around with a bunch of 17-year-olds, but I'm not getting a real, I'm not really thinking they're thinking about it so much. Some are, but I'm like, what's the real deal in all this? What's the real deal? But you're being led to believe, right, that young people want socialism. Isn't that right? More than ever. More than, you know, I don't know what to say, but anyway, listen to this. I'm going to read it to you. I don't want to miss a beat. It's right here in the show notes. Young Americans are raising alarm. This is NPR. I didn't do the research. I will, if I can. Let me pull this off to the side. And I'm going to try and bring that back maybe tomorrow or so. I can't guarantee tomorrow. I'm going to try and look into this. I would be willing to bet you a free peanut butter and jelly sandwich that NPR has recently reported a story about young Americans wanting socialism. But now, here on December 1st, 2021, according to Juana Summers, who at 12:08 p.m. Eastern Time posted, young Americans are raising alarm about the state of the United States democracy in a new poll. Cast their ballot, of all places, where? University of California. On November, the story's on that. I misread that. I have to adjust my glasses. A majority, just forget that last sentence. Here's what they say. A majority of young Americans are worried about the state of democracy in the United States, according to a new poll released this week by the Harvard University Kennedy School Institute of Politics. I don't know that school. Does anybody, is it even a reputable school? Is it like some kind of online university? We're all being fooled. The Harvard University Kennedy School's Institute of Politics and Nonsense. This complete government, and nobody would even read the last part of it. The poll found that 52% of young people in the United States believes that the country's democracy is either in trouble or a failed democracy. just 7% said the democracy in the U.S. is healthy. I don't know. You know what? What's a young person? How many people did they survey? And maybe it's from a poll. Here you go. 2,100, 18 to 29 years old, Harvard Youth Poll, notoriously difficult to survey, interviews in English and Spanish. Well, how many were in Spanish? I mean, what is that? You know, what does this tell me? Who are these people? I think we need to know a little bit more. You assume everybody's going to think like you. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I would find this to be more accurate. But here's my point. I don't know. I'll have to dig into all that. And how do I know how young people think? It's not like I've surveyed two, let alone the 2,100 they did. But the media circle jerk. It's like, you know, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger. What? Oh, young people want their vote back. What? Wait, does anybody remember last week? Nope. Nope, they don't. All right, let me keep moving here. Quit messing around. Death threats, mock hangings, and a used condom. That's pretty disgusting, among other things. Anti-vaxxers, you know, I shouldn't have even said that on the podcast. I don't know if I can continue on now after I just read that. Where this Washington Post. Anti-vaxxers target Australian politicians. Well, they blame it on a few small minority of, you know, people that aren't vaxxed that are, you know, causing all this ruckus. It's like 10% of the population. What are the chances that not nearly as many people are vaccinated as they're reporting? Who knows? How do you know what to believe? Here's a great article on here I want you to go check out. The show notes at ChristopherScottShow.com. You know, there was an email we were supposed to talk about today. Do I have that in here? Yes, I do. Coming up from Jonathan. Whew, thought I was going to miss it there. Let me stick on point here. Jonathan commented on the show notes, and this is where this article is listed. I deleted all my social media apps, and this is what happened. It's an article by Fast Company. Look, go to the show notes at ChristopherScottShow.com. And the reason that I created the show notes was just to be kind of your daily feed. You can scroll through it. I don't know if anybody's really interested. You know, I get some feedback on it. Those of you that check it out seem to do it pretty religiously. And that's cool. I'll keep doing it. But I'm just, you know, I'd like the other people to check it out. And check it out now and go see what I'm trying to tell you and give you a tool to wean yourself off of your social media addiction. And it's a lot of you. And I had to do it. You know, I was on social media because I had a fan page, which they totally shadow banned. I get shadow banned, you know, across the board. I'm on Gab now. I don't know if anybody's... Gab's been really quiet, too. Things have been a little eerily quiet. We're going into the holidays, which is a good thing, I guess. But anyway, go to the show notes. Got off of social media. I was on there because I had a fan page and because the guys from my Marine Corps unit were on there, and I liked that. And I missed that. But I just couldn't take it anymore. Every time I got off there, I was angry. I was like, yeah, it causes an emotional reaction, a negative emotional reaction, Facebook. What a waste of my life. And they talk about it in this article, and I went through this. It's like for a couple days afterwards, you know, I was still taking my thumb on my phone and hitting it. Was like, I was like a Pavlov's dog. And I'm like, what have I done to myself with this? I'm sitting here busting on heroin addict. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Get off of that stuff. Well, anyway, I created the show notes to give you something that you could go to besides that. And I suggest that you go there today to the show notes at ChristopherScottShow.com and go to the show notes for today and scroll down to this article. I deleted all my social media apps, and you'll see what I'm talking about, and you can use the show notes at ChristopherScottShow.com to help you break that, all right? Government announces surprising hike in Medicare Part B premiums. 14%. 14%. What happened to free health care? What happened to free health care? All this progress, all this money being spent. Where's the promise of free health care? 14% rise to Medicare Part B. That's a bit inhumane. Where's the outcry? Nobody seems to care. Who's paying for it? Nobody's complaining. Well, the news, you know, they're not going to report on any of this kind of stuff. 14% rise in those premiums for people on fixed incomes. What happened to the free health care? What happened to the solar panels? What happened to free college? I'm not hearing any of it. They're like talking about money for like Indian tribal lands and black people that want to start businesses and green people that want to be girls. And yeah, it's bizarre. What happened to the panels, the health care, and the free college? My daughter, she's getting older by the day. And so am I. I need some health care. I need some free college. And what happened to the mortgage wipeout thing I thought we were going to do, making all these payments? In all seriousness, how do we go from free health care to 14%? And it's not even news. I'm the only idiot talking about it. Jerome Powell helped cause the inflation, he now admits won't end, blah, blah, blah. You can read it yourself. I'm not going into Jerome Powell's nonsense. Have we not covered enough? I got to fix a little something here. You're going to just have to be patient with me for a second. Every once in a while, if I don't do something right on the spot, it becomes a big problem. So there, that's taken care of. And now we can go to this great email from our friend Jonathan, who always sends great content, as do many of you, as do many of you. Good show on Monday. I checked out the show notes, and it looks like a collection of online stories from non-mainstream news sources. Is that the gist of it? It's just a collection of whatever I throw in there to do the podcast is what it is. You know, if I'm referencing an article that I've looked at or a story or a video, I put it in there. But what I really created, the selfish reason that I created it was because when you go to the show notes, I appreciate you going there. I think there's some value to it. Just check it out real quick. And if you do that on a regular basis, it brings traffic to the website, which helps us be found on search engines. So there's a value there. We don't do any ads. I don't do any advertising. I don't charge for anything. And, you know, just asking for some help in that way to help grow the podcast, as well as your referrals. Big help. Huge. That's how this podcast has grown. It's been phenomenal. but the other thing is what I said earlier, being a replacement to social media. Anyway, I appreciate you looking at them, Jonathan. So Jonathan says, is America dummy-proof? He says, here's what I mean. More than of the 500-plus nationally elected representatives and senators, what is it, 535? He'd say, I'd say at least 65% hate this country and want to see its destruction while they get rich. This country is being run horribly right now, according to the Democrat plan, of course, yet this continues to be one and only country I want to live in. Admirable. And, you know, I've thought about that, by the way. As much as I wake up and I think, man, what's happened to this country? I can't think of anywhere I'd want to go, you know. And I do think it's a country still worth fighting for. I really do. I don't know how you're coming up with 65% hate this country. I want to say this, though, to support your theory. I question that, right? I think to myself, I have a hard time believing that these people run for office or sitting in our government and they hate our country. And maybe I'm being naive. But to support your theory, I had an experience here recently, politically speaking. And some of you know the story a little bit. I'm not going to go back into the whole thing right now. And it's not the first time. And I've talked about this a little bit. I got tied up with a municipality up outside of Allentown years ago. Ended up in a horrible lawsuit. Cost us a ton of money. A very corrupt. And lo and behold, recently came out and there was money being stolen too. It's the same pattern of corruption. And if you read about it, it's very easy to spot once you know what you're looking for. And it's going on all over the place. And as I learn more about it, people are like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's like most of Pennsylvania. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, foolish me. Foolish me. Isn't that funny? So anyway, here's my point, Jonathan, about 65% hate this country. I don't know if they would say, well, I hate that. I bet you if they ask them, I say, no, I love this country. Of course I do. But they're very selfish people, often. But the big thing is I think that they're not empathetic to the point that they cannot even understand that people have other points of view, which is really fascinating. When you look at the liberal push to accept, I think it's themselves reflecting on themselves. Conservatives and religious people are like, what do you mean don't hate black people? We don't hate black people. What are you talking about? Democrats and liberals and atheists to a large degree. I don't want to pigeonhole anybody in saying that. I don't like group talk, group gather, group think, group anything. But you see a difference, right? You see a difference in the way people behave, people think. What's another example of that? Did I touch on this yesterday or is that in here? Yeah, I forget. No, I think I touched on it yesterday. Did I talk about this? The new CEO of Twitter and his tweet. Was I talking about this? He tweeted something to the effect. It was a years old tweet, and now, of course, it's coming up. And he said, if you're not going to differentiate between Muslim and terrorist, why should we differentiate between white and racist? Wow. And you really have to step back and think about that a second. And you say, oh, who's he? But I want to tell you something. I do believe there have been atrocities that have occurred in Christian countries, okay? You could get into a whole big dialogue about this. What's different, among other things, but from a practical standpoint of Islam and Christianity, is it's a different system of justice and one that lacks compassion. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I'm not saying that Muslims are bad people. I never have, and I never will. I actually had a job years ago where I had to interact with the Muslim community, and I found them to be very welcoming as a community. Some of them were not nice, but so were some of the Italians, and so were some of the Germans, people that, have my own background. I didn't see any differentiation there, but culturally speaking, it's a different culture, and it's one that also lacks empathy that we see in our government. Do they hate this country? Maybe. What are you saying? Like the terrorists, they want to take it down. I kind of say let them burn it down and rebuild it. I almost think it's time, but for different reasons. Question is, could we? And with so many people thinking, I think they would weed themselves out largely. I was thinking about something, the people that I see that identify themselves as conservative, and this is not 100% either, like anything, but they tend to be hardworking and working, for one thing, I don't know. That's one of the differences. They seem to openly love the country. They seem to be patriotic. Anyway, let me continue on. Jonathan says, this country is the Honda engine that takes a licking and keeps on ticking. At least that's what I see when I turn off the TV and take a walk outside. So this is another good point, Jonathan. I was thinking about this, too. This country really is very resilient. And I think it's been dirty and messy since day one. There was an email that I got from the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles organization. And it was very long. I should actually read it and post it. I think I will. That'd be a great podcast in itself. It was from Vlad. What's his name? He was the. You heard me talk about this with Velvet Revolution. Vlad. He was he led the revolution. I have to do more reading up on him, actually. Anyway, I got this thing. What was my point in this? Oh, yeah, the Honda engine that keeps it licking and keeps on ticking. And anyway, I'm listening to what he wrote there, and it is interesting to see, back to the cultural thing, there was a cultural foundation here. And it's one that, at least this far, has been able to endure. The country's still young. And this melting pot idea, it's a crazy one, to be sure. I think, as it stands, I hope, we're still quite a bit more empathetic than the rest of the country. But what does that really get us as a comparison? I think the world's in bad shape. Do you agree with me on that? But the country really is very resilient, and that gives me great hope. It really does. And even now, I think to myself, I think I emailed somebody, Dan maybe, and I said, would you feel safe going into one of our cities at this point? I try to avoid going into the city. It makes me very uncomfortable. If I had to go work in the city or something like that, I'd be, horrible. Absolutely horrible. You can't carry in Philadelphia. And then even if you can carry, what are you going to defend yourself? And you're going to end up like Kyle Rittenhouse. Who wants to go through that? I'm not saying, look, I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying, who wants to go through that? Not me. I don't like. I want to avoid that. So I'm not going to go to the city. And as I'm thinking, like, you know, I got to get away from this, right? That's what comes along. Like, how do I get away from what I see where I'm at? Interesting. I don't know. So you move out to somewhere that's more favorable to what you want to see or not. Deal with it. Jonathan says, when I speak to acquaintances that are familiar with life in other continents, I hear the same thing, that ideologically nations have made a leftward shift. Indeed. Indeed. Ideologically nations, the world, has made a shift left. Look, since the New Deal, and it was really all being put in place up and before that, the forming the Fed, the confiscation of gold. You don't know this history? It's a fact. Read it up. This is not conspiracy theory. It's not dark web. It's American history. Jekyll Island, the formation of the Federal Reserve, the instituting of paper money, the confiscating of gold, the 19th or the 16th Amendment, the income tax. It was all part of the plan. Then came the New Deal. The foundation had been laid. Indeed it had. Little money out of your paycheck here and there. Huh? Who would notice? Who would notice? There's big money in that. The unions know that. You know, dollar a day, we'll make sure your job's secure. Dollar a day, we'll make sure you got health benefits for the rest of your life. Dollar a day, we'll make sure you don't lose your job. Dollar a day, you know, it just goes on. That's the promise. The next thing you know, you're like, oh, how many dollars a day am I paying out here? Well, at this point, it's at least half. Do the math. Do the math yourself. Nobody does it. Nobody cares. Just give it all away. Give it to the government. But yeah, the world has gone left. And to that I say, it's like, well, now I think we've reached full circle. Like I said, I think you see this right now. And it came faster than I thought. The young people article support, they're like, whoa. Who said they wanted socialism? Lockdown. They're like, what do you mean you can just lock us down like that? And people are questioning their freedom in ways they never had before because they've seen it taken away, right? And already, maybe this whole program, they'll go, oh, the young people are like, wait, what do you mean the government can just make us lock down, make us wear the... Everybody's like, oh, the young people are being indoctrinated. Maybe they're rebellion. I don't know. But we've gone left. How much further can we let go left? Much of the world has gone left, yet America is the only one that can take the strain of corrupt politicians and level itself to the values of freedom and stability over time. I find that remarkable. It does, I think, have to do with the foundation, the organization that the founding fathers had the sense to do. And I think we need to add to it. They did their best to handcuff government, and we need to tighten up the cuffs. What am I talking about? I'm talking about what I talked about earlier. We should be absolutely auditing their tax. Every one of them get audited by the IRS every year you're in office. And maybe you put threshold. Maybe say, you know what? If your net worth or your income goes up, you know, more than 20% in a year or something like that. But they would find ways to cheat that too. I think you do an audit, right? We have. If the IRS calls you up and says you're getting audited, what are you going to do? You're going to go. I guess. I don't know. I've never had to deal with it. I wouldn't really worry about it if I did get audited, but... what are you going to do? You going to go get a lawyer or something to contest it? You going to go down and you got to deal with the audit. And then you have these like, well, we need these check copies of this check from so-and-so. And then I'm like, well, I don't have this stuff. Now I got to go spend time digging this up because you're making me? Who are you? This isn't freedom. All right? This is kind of stuff I think about. But this is what we're subjected to so that we can make sure that people are paying their taxes, right? Why are we subjected to this and they're not? Every one of them should be. We're sitting here trying to get Trump's tax returns. I mean, you know, I'm looking at Hillary Clinton's tax returns. I'm like, is anybody looking at this? This is some stuff right here, let me tell you. She's pulling down some serious dough for somebody who's supposed to be making $200,000 a year or whatever it was. I don't know. Oh, it was Bill's money. It's always the spot. Now, John McCain's worth like $100 million. No, it's his wife's money. Nancy Pelosi's worth like $100 million. Nah, it's the husband. It's always the other one. Same with me. I don't have a nickel. It's my wife's. We got all the money. Oh, man. Did people believe this stuff? Just like bad pie that eventually gets flushed out, the placeholder in the White House right now will eventually be flushed out by the processes put in place hundreds of years ago. One small problem with that, my friend, and this is my concern, Jonathan. The election was tainted. I'm going to say it like that, and I'll tell you why. To say that the election was stolen, I don't believe is a completely accurate statement. I really don't. Do I believe that there was truly bad ballots cast? Yes, I do. And if you listen to what's so much in the media, I'm like, yep, and it was mostly Republicans. Those are the ones that have been prosecuted. Mm. But we never heard about the magic suitcase of ballots down in Atlantic that appeared on camera and that whole story with the election officials, a couple staying back after everybody else left and waking up the next morning to a different tally. And nobody questioned that. It's kind of weird. Computer something, you know. Why is it computerized in the first place? And all these election changes. But it didn't come out of COVID. It didn't come out of nowhere. A lot of it, enough of it was pushed through to tip the scales because of COVID. But I talked about this in depth. There was a group out there, and I don't remember who it was off the top of my head. I have it somewhere back in the notes, that they had been working on these election changes for a long time. And they've been doing it under the guise of free and fair elections. They're the ones that pushed through the rank-based voting in New York. And they have all these different schemes. And I've looked into this a lot. I've had a lot of conversations with my good friend Stan about these things, the election, that is, election integrity. And as somebody who very much supported online voting with proper authentication, with proper security, which I believe could be done, you could, you know, if you have a camera, I mean, and maybe that's the requirement, but people would argue that, oh, you've got to have a camera. 1 in 3 people don't have access to the internet around the world. There's some crazy number of people here. Like, the city of Detroit apparently has, like, no internet in their residential districts. Who knows what all this is true, but, you know, somebody's going to have a problem with everything. Look, it takes effort to vote. I don't know what to tell you. Here's what I will tell you, that the most secure election is one where people show up in person with identification. It's a crazy idea. I get that paying your taxes by mail, and I suggested attaching the ballot to that for that very reason. I'm like, nobody files somebody else's taxes in their name. I guess they do to get refunds and stuff, right? I don't know, but you're gonna have a lot harder time doing that, right? But people say, yeah, it's a return to Jim Crow era stuff. But anyway, there's this very vile movement going on under this guise, and nobody's paying attention to it, me included. I didn't know what was going on. Big celebrities, all these big names push election for fairness and fair elections. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's good, right? It's good. Like Black Lives Matter, it's good. Until you realize that it's really part of the Black Liberation Movement, and that's not just my tie-in with the BLM thing. That was there on their website. I don't know if it's still on there. An extension of the Black Liberation, flat out racist. And they were killing white cops back in the 70s. I don't think it was limited to white cops, but they're killing cops. And you got all these silly white people. Oh, yeah, I support black. Kyle Rittenhouse, I support Black Lives Matter. How do you even know what he's talking about? Doesn't. Sounds good. Of course, black. I hear the debate. Well, all lives matter. Look, Black Lives Matter. It's very simple, it's not worth arguing. And it really misses the point. It's an organization, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't matter if it's, I don't care if it's racist. I'm so far beyond, you know, the whole racist thing. I'm like, you know what? Where does this idea come from that we have to love everybody? This is a free country. I can love who I want and not love whoever I want. And I'm not suggesting you not love anybody, all right? I don't want to hate either. But I don't believe that you create harmony by forcing people to act like they're getting along when they're not. And they're not going to frequently because of cultural differences, right? I talked about this a billion times. And I'm not going to go back and look at it. But anyway, what was I talking about? The Constitution, the election, Jonathan. Here's what I mean by the election being skewed. They changed the election laws. This group was working to change them, and they got the laws changed. In Pennsylvania, my own state, I didn't know the doggone law got changed. I thought they ushered it in via executive order by the governor here, right? And I was like, no, you can't just change election law by executive because of this pandemic. No, it was enacted by law. Bipartisan. Of course, Trump loses this goofy ballot counting in the middle of the night, which is what happens with every election now. And that's an easy fix, by the way. You got to say, look, those mail-in ballots have to be here by an earlier date if you want to enjoy mail-in balloting. Why does everybody have to acquiesce to whatever everybody wants and you end up with this muddled mess of nothing. It's been polluted, corrupted, whittled down into something that no longer has any integrity. That's where our elections are. Jonathan, what I'm saying to you is where I'm at. Republicans are saying we're not going to run for even local offices with these voting laws in place because we cannot win. There's no way to stop them from, and whatever's happening with it, you're just like, these ballots appear out of nowhere. You can't even argue it. They won't cooperate with you. They won't audit it. Nobody will look into it. They act like nothing. Oh, it's a proven fact. And Democrats vote by mail. And who's proven that? There's never been any forensic audit. Just, is that what it is? Okay, gotcha. And nobody ever proved that. People believe it. So I don't care if you have a constitution, the greatest military, the greatest Christian nation in the world, the biggest group of believers, the most righteous people on the planet, whatever. You could go on endlessly with that. As long as the elections are corrupt, what do we have left, Jonathan? How do we work around that? I don't mean to call you out on that, buddy. I appreciate the email. I appreciate the question. He says, it sucks everywhere right now. I do agree. Everywhere seems to be in bad shape, but America's still the bulb that shines brightest, and not because of its leadership, but by the mechanisms put in place by a bunch of white Christian guys a long time ago. Yeah. Well, it was the Protestant reformist thinking that really shaped a lot of that. And there was a lot of disagreement even among the founding fathers. And guess what? A lot of their ideas were very progressive. I forget who it was now. It wasn't Thomas Paine, I don't think. Ben Franklin? One of them had their own idea about guaranteed basic income. It was talked about here in the forming of this country. No kidding. Because they were making the argument, how can you just send people out into the wilderness with nothing and expect them to survive? And that was the raw ruggedness that this country was built on. We got to bring back some integrity to the elections. I don't know how we go anywhere from there. It's a very difficult fight. But we got to keep fighting, because I agree with you. This country, if it's gone, what's left? What did Thomas Paine say? If I said it once, I've said it a million times. The cause of freedom is a concern for people around the world. And as much as it's a concern for people around the world, it should be mostly a concern for people here when you realize the impact on the planet as a whole. God willing, I hope to be back tomorrow. I sure hope to see you there. Make it a great day.